Thank you for being faithful in 2022, and I'm looking forward to serving the Lord with each of you in 2023. Amen. So I'll look forward to that. Now, today we are looking in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. Today is December the 18th, 2022. We're looking at lesson number 10 out of the book of Daniel. The series is entitled, Our God Reigns. And this is lesson 10. It's entitled, 77s. 77s. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I'll get all of this in today. Man, alive, it's just difficult. It's so much here. So much. But I'm going to try to give you as much as I can with it. And then you can keep the outline and go through that. But here in Daniel chapter number 9, I want you to see something here. This lesson is part of the vision that Daniel had. And Daniel, if you will remember, was concerned with what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. In this chapter, he is praying for God's people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. They've been in captivity now for 67 years. 67 years they've been in captivity. And now Daniel is reading in the book of Jeremiah. And he is reading there how Jeremiah prophesied that they would be taken into captivity for a certain amount of time. And that amount of time was 70 years. 70 years. And Daniel is reading and he's thinking, wait a minute. We've been in captivity now for 67 years. We're close to being delivered. We're close to being back where we ought to be. We've got to keep on going for Jesus or for the Lord. And I want you to remember today, this lesson reminds us that God always keeps His promises. He kept His promises to the people of God, the nation of Israel. And folks, I'm going to let you know, He's going to keep His promise for you and I as His born-again church, His bride. God is keeping His promise. And Jesus may come even before the end of this year ends up. I've never seen such a mess in our land like it is today. And I've always tried to tell you, watch for those three things. One, what our world does with the innocents, the little babies in our world. They're killing them left and right and just doing away with everything they can do to get rid of the little innocent ones. Number two, the sin of not only murdering the innocent, but the sin of sodomy. It is prevalent in our land, in our world today. In Tel Aviv, it is one of the biggest places that sodomy is practiced and put out, the people of God. And God is seeing all these things, and they are making a big scene of all these things. But the third thing that you need to watch is Israel, the nation of Israel. God has made promises that He's going to protect them and keep them. But folks, our world, our president this past week was just talking about how that Israel is to be considered an apartheid nation, one that doesn't care about their people, and they don't even deserve to be a nation. Now, that's from our president. And folks, I'm telling you, God is not going to take this thing lightly. And God is not going to take messing with His people. So I want you to see and understand today, this lesson has to do with some promises. But in the lesson, God explains to Daniel that these things that He is showing him is His plan for His nation of Israel, His chosen people. And He gives some things here I want you to see and understand today, all right? First of all, we're going to look in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And we see here where Daniel is reading in the book of Jeremiah. He's reading the sacred word of God. And you know what? The word of God made a difference in the life of Daniel in the midst of his captivity. He was able to study and to absorb the word of God. And he didn't have all the scriptures that you and I have today. But what he had, God encouraged him with it. And the Bible said here, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice here the time that all this is happening. It's in the first year of King Darius. If you go back to Daniel chapter number 5, and I'm not going to take time to go into all that, but when Babylon was invaded, they were invaded by the Medes and the Persians, and Belshazzar was killed, and King Darius began his reign. Listen, God had a plan. God had a plan. And the history books teach us that this reign of Darius the Mede began in the year 538. Come on up. We got you a gift here on a chair and everything. Amen. Good to see you today. Appreciate you being here. It began in 538 B.C., all right, 538 B.C., which was some 67 years after King Nebuchadnezzar took over Jerusalem and Judah. And these 67 years in captivity meant something to Daniel when he read the Word of God. He knew that the end of captivity was very near. And folks, I want you to understand something today. Though you and I do not know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes, we can see by the things around us that it may not be a very long time before the Lord Jesus comes back. So we see the time, the first year of King Darius. We see the text that he was reading was the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had written these things by the hand of God, and he was trying to help the people of Israel. And the book of Jeremiah starts out in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and it says this: "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month." So Jeremiah is writing all these things. Amen. Come on in. We got you a gift up here. Right there on that second row right there. You can get you a gift and everything. Right there or right there, either one. We'll make sure everybody gets one, okay? Both of you get one. Brother Rob, would you give one of them? There's not but one gift up here. All right. There you go. Just make sure they get one there too, okay? But he's writing in the days of this captivity, all right? Then we see the theme. And the theme of this book is the captivity, the 70 years of captivity. God had told Israel for their sin, they would be held captive by the heathen of Babylon for a period of 70 years. And you can read about this, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. It tells the why for the punishment. And he wrote there exactly how long that punishment would last. And we know that to be 70 years. Now, because of time, I'm not going to take time to read that. But Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 11, it tells us all about that. So can you imagine the joy of Daniel's heart when he read that in the book of Jeremiah and he said, "Wait a minute, that means we've been in captivity now 67 years. We've only got 3 more years of captivity. So we need to get busy for God." But wait, what is God going to do with us? His disobedient children, his disobedient nation. What is going to happen to us after captivity is over? What's going to happen? And Daniel begins to worry. He begins to pray. And he begins to think about how shameful and wicked that the children of Israel had been toward God all those years, and what caused them to be put into captivity. It was their sinful rebellion. It was their wickedness of their heart. And it was continually day by day. Folks, that is what we're seeing in our own country today. Just as it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said that men's heart were on wicked. Their thoughts and imaginations were wicked continually. Day after day, it was just wicked. So as Daniel thought of all the sins of both him and his people, The Bible said here in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, that God's prophet was very repentant. He was very repentant. Now listen to what it says. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He began to pray unto God. And as Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14, God had foretold how that the people of God would one day turn back unto God. And God would give Jeremiah the words to write. And this is what he said. He said, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Look at what God said he would do for them. He said, I will hearken unto you. What a blessing it is to know that God hears us when we pray. Amen. When we go to him with an honest heart. He said, ye shall seek me and find me. Thirdly, he says, I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and all the places whither I've driven you. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away. Daniel knew that he, as well as the people, the chosen people of God, had sinned greatly in the eyes of God. They had gotten complacent. They had been blessed by the hand of God, and they had forgotten the blesser, and they didn't think they needed him anymore. And they turned to the wicked pagan idols and false gods of the heathen land in which they lived. And God said, no more, and I'm not going to listen to them anymore. And he brought them into captivity. And now for nearly 70 years, Jeremiah had written these things many years before, and he had written what God was going to do. And now Daniel is reading these words, and his heart is filled with joy to know that God has a plan for his people. Now, I want you to notice here that not only was Daniel repentant of his sin, but he prayed for his people. He prayed for those folks that he knew, the people of God, the chosen seed of God. He prayed for them. Why? Because he knew that God's people were a rebellious people. Boy, you know what? Some people ask me, they say, well, preacher, I've prayed for my family for years and years and years, and it just doesn't seem to do any good. Should I continue to pray for them? Yes, continue to pray. Because God is still at work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Don't lose hope. Man, I still pray for family. I still pray for lost loved ones. Last night, I talked to my youth director. He sent me a card in the mail. And he was just praising the Lord that we were serving the Lord. Little did I know, somebody had opened up our mail. Our mail was opened in the mailbox. And when I talked to Brother Pete last night, I called him all the way down in Winston-Salem. He said, well, what did you think of the video? And I said, what video? He said, I found a bunch of the videos where you and Lisa and a lot of the other kids were in the choir and singing in the youth group and all this stuff. And he said, I put that all on a thumb drive and I sent it to you. I said, well, Lisa told me that when we got the card, our mail was open and there was nothing in it except this card and a note from you. And somebody had stolen that thumb drive out of a Christmas card. Can you believe that? Boy, I hope when they get that, they see all those young people wearing T-shirts that said, we love Jesus, and they get under conviction. Man, I hope they get under conviction. But you know what? Listen, God's people, His chosen people, had become a rebellious people toward God. And notice here in verses 5 and 6 that Daniel was honest with God. He said, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Man, the people of the land had become wicked from the top all the way down to the bottom. All the leaders were wicked. All the leaders were filled with pride. And they had turned away from God. And Daniel prayed and admitted all these things. Look down at verses 9 through 11. Look what they say. He went on to say, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him." Daniel knew why they were in captivity, but the people needed to understand that. They needed to see. Folks, listen to me today. God chastens those whom He loves, even as a father does his own children. And you know what? We chasten, we rebuke our children, not because we hate them, but because we love them and we want them to do right. We want them to turn away from the things that they've done wrong. And sometimes chastening gets to be pretty rough. But you know what? God still loved His children. And now, because of all their sin and rebellion against God, we see that God's procedure, what He did, was righteous judgment. It was righteous. Look at verses 7 and 8. "O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day." Boy, have we never seen a day in which we live in so much confusion? Our world is confused about everything. You call anybody anywhere in the government and they are so confused. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. I've got some friends that were at the VA hospital and they were told to go down there. Then they get down there. They don't know why they're there. They don't know, you know, if they're covered or not. And these folks are sitting there, we're sick. And you said to come down. Well, we don't have any record of this. Confusion is throughout our land today because we've turned away from God. Look what He said. "To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee, O Lord. To us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee." Because of the sin that the people and even the leaders of Israel had committed against God, there was brought to them shame and dishonor, even as they had brought upon the Lord God who loved them. They had confusion. And you know, we need to remember something today. You cannot get away with sin. Our world seems today to think, well, hey, God hadn't done anything to me, so I can get away with this. But Paul wrote to the book, to the Galatian church in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7, he said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And folks, we are beginning to see the reaping of the bad seeds that have been sown in the past generations. We're seeing it in our country. God had warned them. His ministers had warned the children of Israel. And they had preached unto them and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And they rejected it. They turned away from it. But in Daniel chapter 9, verses 12 through 14, the Bible said, Daniel confessed. He said, "And he hath confirmed his words." In other words, God has kept his promise. God said, if you'll love me and serve me, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll do all the things I promised unto you. But if you turn away, and if you fail to live for me, if you turn unto wicked pagan idols, this is what's going to happen. Judgment is coming. And Daniel said, God hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing us a great evil. For under the whole heaven had not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Folks, the saddest thing in the world is when we know that we've done wrong and God has to chasten or rebuke us or punish us for doing wrong and we fail to repent and turn back unto God. That's a sad day, folks. When they would not even go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me and take away your hand of judgment? They wouldn't even do that. And folks, we are seeing that very same thing happen in our land, our world today. Folks can offend God and break his laws and not even feel guilty about their sin. Daniel confessed this. He said, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. I want you to understand something today. The very sin that Daniel was confessing today, or that day, about not being obedient unto God, failing to obey the word of God, is the same original sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. Disobedience to God. Folks, it all starts with disobedience. Sin begins with disobedience. We know, the Bible says in the book of James, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And folks, when we know to do right and yet we choose to do wrong, we can expect nothing but God's judgment for that sin. And that's what Daniel was confessing. But I want you to see here how that when Daniel confessed his sins and the sins of his people before the Lord his God, we see how that God's pardon was requested. Daniel still loved his people. Why did he love the people of God? Because he loved the God of their people. And you know what? When we choose to love the God that has saved us and done so much for us, God will put a love in our heart for those folks around us. And you know what? It breaks my heart to see folks have to go through the things that they go through simply because they have chosen to disobey the word of God. But look at what Daniel's prayer now turned into. It turned into a request. He didn't hate his people. He didn't hate his nation. He hated what they had done. He hated the captivity that it had caused them all to be placed into. But he loved the people, and he loved the people because he loved the God of the people. And look what the Bible said. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Oh, my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Oh, Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, oh my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. First of all, Daniel wanted God to know. He wanted God to understand that he had not forgotten the goodness that God had displayed upon his people. You know what? God didn't have to do what he did for the children of Israel, but he chose to love them. He chose to deliver them out of Egypt. He chose to bring them out of bondage. He chose to take them through the wilderness where it was dark at night and cold and hot and fiery during the day, where they didn't have meats available to them readily. They didn't have water available to them readily. And God did that for a purpose. And you know what that purpose was? It was to get the people of God to learn to trust God as their source for all that they needed. And folks, sometimes you and I today, we get upset because we don't have this and we don't have that and we don't get this and we don't get that. And you know what I believe? I believe God allows us to go through those things so that we can learn, number one, to depend upon His Word, His promises that He has given, that He will supply all of our needs, both physically and spiritually. And number two, that we learn to trust God and to take unto Him our every need, our every care, our every desire. God wants us to know that we can trust Him. Folks, I'm convinced that if we'll never forget where God found us, as well as what God has done for us, our attitude of love, our attitude of servitude unto God will never diminish. It'll never change, and it will never cause a spirit of disobedience to rise up in our hearts so that we turn away from God. Folks have turned away from God because they forgot what God has done for them. That's what happened with the children of Israel. But secondly, after thanking God for all of His goodness, the Bible said here that Daniel then made his first request known unto God, and that was, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem. Sin had brought a bad name upon the people of God and upon the city of God, where God had placed His name. And God said, I want all the world to know that I'm in the midst of this place. And now their sin had caused that name to be blasphemed, to be mocked, and to be shown as something that was not very good at all. And folks, today, you listen to me. I believe that many, many folks that are born again are not living as a Christian. Listen, when the folks in Antioch, when the disciples in Antioch were first called Christians, it was not bragging on them because they were so great and mighty. It was a derogatory statement. They looked at them and they said, oh, you're living like that Christ. You're talking the same thing He talked. You're praying the same way He did. And you know what? That's what ought to be said about you and me today. We ought to be living like Christ so that people will know that Christ is real. The children of Israel had brought shame upon the name of their God, upon the name of the city of Jerusalem. And Daniel asked God to forgive them for that and to turn away His anger for what they had done. And God was willing to do that. And as Daniel was praying unto his God, the Bible said that God interrupts him right in the middle of his prayer. As he's getting started praying here, God interrupts him. And look at what happens here. God sends a messenger to Daniel. And look at what Daniel said, verse 20. He said, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God upon a holy mountain of God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That would have been about 3:00 in the afternoon. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. While Daniel is praying, God sends an angel down and says, Daniel, buddy, I love you. God wants me to let you know God loves you. You're greatly beloved. And he said, when you first started praying, God heard your prayer. You may not have thought that God ever heard you, but he heard you. And God has sent me. The angel Gabriel said, God sent me to deliver this message that you are greatly beloved. You've not been forgotten, and God knows what's upon your heart. Man, what a blessing that must have been to Daniel. And you know what? We've got that same promise. Now, we don't have an angel that comes to us today and says, I'm the Gabriel angel, and I'm here to let you know God loves you. We've got his word right here. It's written in red all through the word of God how much God loves us. I think about that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. And God began to use this angel to give the message, make it plain and make it clear unto Daniel. Now here in Daniel chapter 24 verses, or chapter 9 verses 24 through 27, he gives the message for Daniel to understand. And he said this, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. I want you to see here, first of all, the message is sent to the people of God and to the city of God. Many folks make this seem like this is upon the United States or upon the church or whatever. No, this message, this 70 weeks, was determined upon God's chosen people, the Jews, and upon their city, the holy city, Jerusalem. And look what he said. He said, to finish the transgression. And that refers to that time when Israel's transgressions were noted by Daniel, verses 10 and 11, against their God. There's going to come a day that those transgressions are going to end. They're not going to feel that way toward God. They're not going to rebel against God anymore. Look what at this, to make an end of sins. That refers to the way in which they sinned every day. It wasn't just once a week. Man, they were willfully turning, rejecting, mocking God on a day-to-day basis. To make reconciliation for iniquity. And it referred to that day when Christ Jesus finished his work on the cross. And yet the people, the Jewish people, would one day see him again. They would see him whom they had pierced. And they would see the one upon whom they had cried and said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And they washed their hands of the Savior, the Messiah. But one day was coming when God would make reconciliation for that iniquity. There was coming a day to bring in everlasting righteousness. I want you to understand something. There can be no everlasting righteousness upon this earth until the devil is taken and cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. And the kingdom of our mighty God is established upon this earth. And until that day, there will never be any everlasting righteousness on the face of this earth. But there's coming a day, amen? There is coming a day, and we can look forward to that day. And God was trying to remind his people, listen, there's coming a day when righteousness is going to reign and unrighteousness is going to cease. And look what else he said. To seal up, he told me, he said, you're going to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And that is referring to that day when Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom on this earth. And there will not be a need for visions or prophecies because Jesus will have fulfilled every promise, every prophecy that he ever gave. And that day will be accomplished when no more prophecies to be fulfilled, and Christ will establish his kingdom on this earth forever and forever. Man, what a day that was going to be. And then he said, to anoint the most holy. And that refers to that time when Christ returns and the glory of God fills that new temple, the temple that you remember Solomon originally built. And when they prayed in there, that God sent down the Shekinah glory, and it filled the temple, and the priest couldn't even go in because of the glory of God was all over that place. Can you imagine today when God establishes his new temple there on the mount where it's supposed to be right now? And God establishes his temple and fills it with his glory, and he anoints it with the glory from on high. Man, what a day that's going to be. But he talks about 70 weeks are determined. And those 70 weeks were God's way of defining the time period in which this was going to happen. It was going to be days on out, years on beyond, when Daniel would be living on this earth. But the 70 years, and I'm just going to sum it up because I don't have much time. The 70 years was a period of time where that God established these 490 years. 7 times 70 was 490. And there were going to be a period of years, 483, from the time that the declaration was given to go and rebuild the temple of God until the time that Jesus came riding upon the foal of an ass into the city of Jerusalem, and he is declared to be the king. 483 years are going to pass during that time period. And then Christ is going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to ascend back up into heaven. And the day of the Gentiles is going to come in. The temple is going to be destroyed. All these things are going to happen. And there's going to be 1 week left, that 70th week of Daniel. And that's going to happen during that great tribulation time. And man, I wish I had time to tell you the rest of it. But you'll have to wait 2 more weeks before I get to finish that, okay? Read it this week. Study it this week. I've got a picture of it here, and I may put this on our website. And you can look at it, and it'll give you that time frame. But I want to tell you today, God's got a plan. God's got a promise. And that promise is to his people, Israel, number one. But he's got a promise to you and me as well. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray, and let's be dismissed. Father, I love you this morning. And I know that I've used up all the time, and I'm sorry for that. But Father, I just thank you for the promises that we have, that God, you always keep your promises, and you are going to provide that day, one day, to the children of Israel, and all of Israel is going to turn unto you in a day. What a day that's going to be. Help us now, Lord, to remember that you came into this world to resolve the problem we've got for sin, and Lord, help us to be thankful for that today. Bless us now this Christmas season. Watch over our people and fill our pastor with your power this morning. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for getting to be here. Amen.